It's time for justice. Welcome to the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show, heard every Wednesday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 97.3 FM WRIR and at www.wrir.org. I'm your host, Marty Wegbright. This show is written and produced by Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. We give free, civil, non-criminal legal aid to low-income people in Richmond, Petersburg, Charlottesville, and surrounding cities and counties. Coming up on this week's show,
we are seeing that some people may or may not have actually done their taxes, and so individuals who didn't file and who are not planning on filing may actually lose the tax credit.
Anyone who recognizes that they have not filed their taxes for the year of 2014 and received financial assistance during that year should file those taxes as soon as possible.
Healthcare navigators Amelia Goldsmith and Catherine Rollins explained why you must file a tax return on time and correctly to keep your subsidy to pay for health insurance under Obamacare. And during this week's News You Can Use, you'll learn about the sharp rise in complaints against credit reporting agencies. All that and more coming up. Stay with us. The show is supported in part by a grant from the Virginia Law Foundation. This show, number 276, is the sole responsibility of Central Virginia Legal Aid Society and gives only general legal information. If you have a legal problem and need specific legal advice about your situation, contact an attorney. If you can't afford an attorney, we'll tell you later in the show how to get free legal advice or representation in a civil case. The Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show is heard every Wednesday at 12:30 on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio, and online at www.wrir.org, and is made possible by community radio volunteers at WRIR. And now, this week's News You Can Use. Credit reporting affects the lives of most Americans. Consumer reporting agencies collect information and provide reports on consumers that are used to decide whether consumers are eligible for credit. Credit reports and scores can determine everything from consumer eligibility for credit to the rates consumers pay for credit. Since 2012, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, or CFPB, has supervised the nation's largest credit reporting agencies, which account for nearly 95% of the credit reporting market's annual receipts and which maintain files on more than 200 million customers. The CFPB has handled approximately 105,000 credit reporting complaints since it began accepting them 3 years ago. There has been a sharp increase in credit reporting complaints, a 45% increase in the period of May through July 2015 compared to the prior year. The majority of credit reporting complaints, 77%, involve incorrect information on reports. Consumers frequently complain of debts already paid or debts not yet due showing up on their report, negatively affecting their credit scores. Consumers consistently report issues related to accessing their credit reports as a result of rigorous online identity authentication questions. If unable to access the reports over the internet, consumers have to send copies of sensitive identifying information through the mail, which is time-consuming and potentially unsecure. Out of all credit reporting complaints submitted to the CFPB between March and May 2015, 97% of them involved the three nationwide credit reporting agencies, Equifax, Experian, and TransUnion. Because of the significance of credit reports, consumer reporting companies have been a major focus for the CFPB. The most complained about financial product or service was debt collection, representing about 31% of complaints submitted. The second most complained about consumer product was credit reporting. The top three companies that received the most complaints from March through May 2015 were Equifax, Experian, and Bank of America. Of the five most complained about companies, three of them, Equifax, Experian, and TransUnion, are credit reporting agencies. To submit a complaint, consumers can go online at www.consumerfinance.gov/complaint or call the toll-free phone number at 1-855-411-CFPB or fax at 1-855-237-2392 or write to Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, P.O. Box 4503, Iowa City, Iowa 52244. With this week's news you can use, this is your host, Marty Wegbright. Welcome back to the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio. We're here at the offices of Central Virginia Legal Aid Society, and we are speaking with two certified healthcare navigators, Amelia Goldsmith and Catherine Rollins, and we are going to be talking about the tax credits that give people subsidies under the health insurance marketplace and why it is so important for people to have filed their tax return for 2014, due in 2015, on time, with the proper form, and accurately, so that people can have their tax subsidies for the year 2016. So welcome to the show, both of you.
Thank you, Marty.
Thank you.
So this is a complicated subject, and a little bit of background would be useful to our listeners. So tell us, how do these tax subsidies work? Who's eligible for them, and how are they calculated?
So the amount of financial assistance that somebody gets monthly is based on their projected annual income. And so that is considered along the scale of the federal poverty level. So that is going to make your household size very important. So the federal poverty level, the range that can receive subsidies is between 100% of the federal poverty level and 400% of the federal poverty level. So for a single adult, that's between roughly $11,700 and about $45,000 of income annually. But when you add a household member, it goes up, you know, roughly $5,000. So let's say a household of three would start at about $19,000 of annual income. A household of four can go up to about $95,000 of annual income. So the household size and income level really depend on where someone falls on the federal poverty level. And where they fall on that federal poverty level will be a primary component of how that tax credit subsidy is calculated. And I'll let Catherine talk about some of the other factors that go into calculating that.
That tells us who is eligible for the tax subsidies. Now, how is the tax subsidy actually calculated?
So the whole purpose of the tax credits that individuals receive through the marketplace is to lower the cost of their health plan each month. Now, it's important to understand that that is determined based on the percentage of that individual's income that they are expected to pay in health coverage. And that's going to depend on where they fall in that federal poverty level. So an individual who is closer to that 100% is only expected to pay like a maximum of around 2% of their income towards health coverage, whereas someone at a higher income level is going to be asked to pay a larger percentage up to a certain cap. So the way those tax credits are going to be determined is based on the second cheapest silver plan. And then from there, the tax credits are going to be applied to take that second lowest cost silver plan and put it within that accepted range as far as the percentage of your income that you would have to pay to afford that particular plan.
Now, you mentioned a silver plan, and probably some background is necessary to let people know, what is a silver plan?
There are four different categories of plans that you can choose through the marketplace. In Central Virginia, we have three categories, and that's going to be a bronze plan, which covers on average 60% of your healthcare costs when you actually use it, a silver plan, which covers around 70%, and then a gold plan, which covers around 80%. So the silver plans are used as kind of the benchmark, and those are kind of that mid-level plan. And so as far as the tax credits being applied, it is the second cheapest of that silver category.
And what happens if during the year that calculation turns out to have been inaccurate, an inaccurate projection? You said that this was based on projected family income. What happens if the projection is off? Income is greater or income is lesser?
Income can be updated at any time throughout the year. So we always advocate that people should keep a good eye on their income. If they get a different job, if they're self-employed and they notice that this year has been far more productive than the last, then they should keep that income as close to accurate as possible. So they can always go back in, update their income, and then those tax credits they're receiving should be automatically adjusted for the next month to match that new projected income.
And so when the tax credit is adjusted, does that mean that the bill that they're going to get from their health insurance provider is also going to be adjusted?
Yes, it does. So the way that the tax credits are calculated is exclusively within the health insurance marketplace. So when you go to the health insurance marketplace and you apply and you include your projected income within an application, the marketplace will let you select a policy and you can actually enroll in coverage. But you don't do that directly with the insurance company. So that how that works is the marketplace actually sends this information to the insurance company and they bill you for the difference in how much the, you know, tax credits, you know, do not cover.
So that's how it works during the insurance year. And then tax time rolls around in January, February, March, or by April 15th of the following year. And there's something called reconciliation. Can you explain briefly what reconciliation is?
So reconciliation is where on tax time you are going to kind of account for all of the assistance you received and what you actually ended up making for that year. So what they're going to do on your tax form is look at what you projected your income to be, how much assistance you received based on that projection, and then compare that to what you actually make. And so then once they reconcile all of those together, they're going to figure out whether you received too much financial assistance, too little financial assistance, or whether it was spot on.
As I understand, the problem right now is that there are millions of people across the country, and certainly maybe tens of thousands or possibly hundreds of thousands in Virginia who didn't do it either on time or didn't do it accurately or didn't do it with the proper form. So what's the problem here and how can people fix it?
I want to start with the rubric that the marketplace actually uses to determine what income is. So the standard is based on modified adjusted gross income. So what counts as income under that? So Social Security disability income, for instance, isn't considered to be taxable, but under modified adjusted gross income, you can actually count that as income. So we have instances where people will come in and they'll sit with us and they'll say, you know, I have no income. And then we'll say, well, you know, we'll run through some other things. Do you have a pension? Do you have any kind of retirement benefits? Have you taken anything out of a 401k? Do you have Social Security? And sometimes people will say, yes, you know, I have Social Security. I get about, you know, maybe, you know, $1,000 a month, something like that. And, you know, we'll say that is an eligible source of income through the health insurance marketplace, but you will need to file for taxes this year. And so they may not be used to filing for taxes because that's not considered to be something that you would normally have to file for taxes for, but that tax return is a requirement. And so they wouldn't pay taxes, but they would have met that requirement. Anybody that is taking advantage of a service like this for the first time may have discounted the seriousness of that requirement at the time of enrollment, or they may just not have gotten assistance at all. Maybe they spoke with somebody over the call center. Let's say somebody just called the call center and they didn't have health insurance and they just had random questions about, you know, is this something that is going to be beneficial for me? And let's say they decided to enroll and didn't get any education about what they needed to do. You know, I'm sure that, you know, thousands and thousands of people had that kind of interaction with the marketplace. And, you know, it was, the massive amount of interest in the first year, especially, but the second year as well, made it such that it was very difficult to provide uniform quality assistance all over the country, you know, and make sure that every single person was communicated, these requirements were communicated to them in a way that they were really going to be able to respond to come tax time. So we are seeing that some people may or may not have actually done their taxes. And so individuals who didn't file and who are not planning on filing may actually lose the tax credit.
So this program, the Affordable Care Act, was aimed at people who were uninsured, so they had no prior experience purchasing health insurance for the most part. And a lot of those folks had such low income, they were below the income tax threshold, and they didn't have to file an income tax return. Now, it seems like to get health insurance and to get the subsidies, you must file a tax return. Is that correct? And if people did not file a tax return, what are they supposed to do now that it's 4, 5, or 6 months after the fact?
So yes, that is true, that they will need to file a tax return. That is one of the things that when you fill out the application, there is a section where you must agree to certain things to qualify for that financial assistance. And that is only if you qualify for that financial assistance. And one of the things you agree to do is that you must file a tax return for that tax year so that they can reconcile your income with your income estimate. So what may happen for those individuals who choose not to file at all, they may lose those tax credits for the next calendar year. So what we're being told now is that for 2016, those individuals who have not filed may lose those tax credits.
Are those individuals allowed now to file late for tax year 2014, the return they should have filed in the spring of 2015, so they would at least be able to get the credits for the year 2016 when they purchase health insurance?
Yes, so they should still file as soon as they can. So, I mean, many people have filed an extension and they would have till October to file. But anyone who recognizes that they have not filed their taxes for the year of 2014 and received financial assistance during that year should file those taxes as soon as possible.
And I understand that there is a particular form that must be filed with the tax return. And if that form is not filed, then you've not done it properly. What is that form and what's that all about?
That is correct. That form is called Form 8962. That form is essential for anyone who received that financial assistance in the form of premium tax credits during that tax year. What you would receive from the marketplace is another form called Form 1095A. Anyone has already received that. If they haven't received it, they can certainly call the marketplace and can still have that sent out to them. It's pretty easy to get. They can also access it through their online account. But the Form 1095A shows the amount of assistance each person received each month, the amount of assistance they were eligible for each month, and really breaks down that kind of comparison. Then you would take that Form 1095A and use it to fill out Form 8962. That is the official IRS tax form that goes through all of the math and all of the complicated, wonderful IRS maneuvers to really get down to that bottom line number of, did you receive too much benefits or too few benefits? Are you getting money back? Are you paying money, or is everything fine?
So let me see if I understand this correctly. The government is supposed to send you one form that you should get automatically, and then you take that form and transfer the information to another government form, a blank form essentially, and that gets filed with your tax return.
Yes. They're going to send you this preliminary form. It's a much more basic information. It is really just telling you how much assistance you got and then what that price of that second cheapest silver plan that we talked about earlier actually was. And then you take that information and combine it with all that other fun tax information, like your adjusted gross income that you filed, your household size, and all of that information, as well as the tax filing threshold for your household size. All of that information gets incorporated on the official form. So both forms come together and make the official 8962 form.
And let's assume that you filed your income tax returns in the spring of 2015 for tax year 2014, and you didn't ask for, or they didn't provide you, or you didn't use the form 1095 to transfer the information to the other form, so you didn't do it correctly and you didn't submit the proper forms. Can you file now an amended return that does it properly?
Yes, I would encourage anybody that has doubts about whether or not they did that requirement correctly to contact their accountant or whoever helped them prepare their taxes that would know whether or not that was included. And, you know, just like any amendments that you would make to your taxes, this is going to follow those same rules.
And I know that you two are not tax experts. You're there to help people enroll in the health insurance marketplace, which actually, as I understand, can happen throughout the year if people qualify for special enrollment periods, which we'll talk about shortly. But if someone comes and they've got this tax issue, what type of guidance and help can you all provide to them?
I know that we will be seeing people that will come in and will not be able to get tax credits, and they will have questions as to why. But in terms of actually adjusting their taxes and meeting these requirements, that is going to be exclusively through the work of an accountant. And I would highly recommend that people do seek professional advice about taxation in order to be able to adjust their taxes to meet these requirements. We have fairly strict requirements on giving tax advice. There are a few different laws that regulate what navigators can and cannot do. And so, you know, while we do need to be very well versed in taxation, we unfortunately will need to do a lot of referrals to accountants in order to help individuals who made these errors.
And I did mention the special enrollment period that happened throughout the year. So you guys are busy not just during the open enrollment period, but also throughout the year. So could one of you just summarize for us, what are these special enrollment periods and when people should come to healthcare navigators to try to get the health insurance that they may not have previously had?
Sure. So there's quite a few special enrollment periods that people may qualify for. Some of the big ones are going to be if you're losing health insurance, if you know you're going to or have lost health insurance, if you move, you make a permanent move to a different location, especially out of state, if you have a baby, if you get married, if your household size changes in some way, if your income increases significantly. There's a newer special enrollment period for any individual whose income was perhaps too low to qualify for financial assistance, who then either got income or a significant enough increase in income to make them qualified for those tax credits. They can then come and enroll in health insurance that they weren't previously eligible for.
And finally, what's the best way for someone who needs assistance from a ACA, Affordable Care Act, navigator to get in touch with someone?
In order to reach and enroll Virginia Healthcare Navigator, you can go ahead and give us a call at 804-200-6035. I'll give that number again in a minute. That is the number for the Central Virginia office. We have offices in Richmond and Petersburg. However, healthcare navigators with Enroll Virginia are distributed amongst legal aid offices all across the state. So we have colleagues that do the same work all over the state, and we can refer people to the person that does this work in their region. If they go ahead and give us a call, we're more than happy to do that. Or you can go to enroll-virginiaspelledout.com. So that's enroll-virginia, virginia.com. And you can actually go ahead and type in your zip code or see where the offices are located. And we provide a wide variety of services, from education to enrollments to estimates to dealing with issues with related to enrollment. We also just do general education about what health insurance is. And so if you're concerned about, you know, what these changes in the law may mean for your current circumstances, or if there may be some better options for you, we would be more than happy to speak with you. Additionally, if individuals are concerned about whether or not they qualify, we can actually refer them to other healthcare resources in the region that may be able to assist them if this isn't going to be a good fit for them. But our office number again is 804-200-6035, or please visit us at enroll-virginia.com.
Well, thank you very much. We have been speaking with healthcare navigators Amelia Goldsmith and Catherine Rollins about the Affordable Care Act, the tax subsidies available, and the importance of filing a tax return on time, correctly, and with the proper form. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That's all for this week's Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show. This show is heard every Wednesday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. The show is the sole responsibility of Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. To see if you can get free civil legal aid, call during intake hours. These are Monday through Thursday, 9 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. and 1 p.m. to 2:30 p.m. The phone number is 200-6046 for intake, 648-1012 for the main number, and 1-800-868-1012 to call toll-free. This show provides only general legal information. If you have a legal problem and need specific legal advice about your situation, contact an attorney. If you can't afford one, call Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. If you buy a used car, the chances are overwhelming that the dealer is breaking at least one, if not several, laws. Join us next Wednesday at 12:30 p.m. when consumer law attorney John Gale explains how to spot the lawbreakers and what to do about them in a rebroadcast of a show originally heard on October 1, 2014. That's Law for the Rest of Us next week on the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show. I'm Marty Wainwright.